Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. We have in the studio with us today Julian Joiello and Linda Vanella, because there's something to discuss about the fact that you got to make everybody happy. You know, this comes the season, now's the season where everybody has to, some way or other, your job is to make them happy, right? That's your job. Your job is to make, there are some people who cannot be happy unless everybody else is happy. Are you like that? Are you one of those people? I can't be happy if you're not. Why do we get this way? How does this happen? I have a number of men I know who have been married, have gotten divorced because they said, the reason I got divorced was because I had realized I couldn't make her happy. At first, he would try to buy her presents. She would say, if only you got me a car, it would make me happy. If only you put money in the bank, it would make me happy. If only you did this, it would make me happy, but she never got happy. So after a while, they realize, hey, this isn't working. The truth is, nothing's going to make her happy, and I'm going to keep trying. Then meanwhile, that same man could go out and meet somebody new, even a friend, a buddy, and they get happy real easily by your slightest efforts. So why would you continue to try to spend your life making somebody feel good? Even sexually, that happens a lot. You know, sexually, I have to please you in order for me to feel pleased. Or, in fact, I don't even care if I'm pleased. All I care about is pleasing you. We want to study this with you today, and you could call us today at 212-957-2729, because we're getting near the holiday. Tomorrow, we won't be able to take any of your calls, so maybe good wishes and telephone calls today. Christmas comes. You go to all the parties. You try to get the right gift. What kind of things you go through, Julian, to try to make Christmas perfect?
Well, you got to make sure that you're going to all the parties. You got to make sure you get all the perfect gifts that is the most unique and the most thoughtful gift you can get somebody.
It has to be thoughtful, right? And it has to cost enough.
Oh, yeah, sure. You've got to break the threshold.
You got to break whatever the threshold is. It can't be $3. Yeah. Go ahead. What else?
Well, you've got to be the cheerful one. You've got to be the person that is... Well, I know that I have to. When I go somewhere, I want to make sure that I've got the holiday spirit. I'm not some downer. If I'm depressed or I'm tired or something like this, I can't be tired at the
party. That's a terrible thing about being sick, you know? As you get older and you get sickly and you bring your aches with you to parties, you become a drag. You don't mean to be a drag, but you're aching. You're barely standing up. And in a way, you're an energy sapper, because the real thing that's fun at parties is people who are filled with positive energy. Linda, welcome back to our station.
Pleasure to be here. I'm glad to be here today, especially when we speak about making others happy. You mentioned the men who get married and often feel. Do you think it is a gender issue? Do you think there's something more prevalent among men or females?
No, no. I think I'm sure from a woman's point of view, you must see it as well, right?
Yes.
The women you work with who are trying to please their husbands?
Yes, because I
see. Or their mates. It doesn't have to be a husband.
Even their children, their mothers, their friends. I see that very often, a feeling of almost it's a woman's job to make others happy.
In fact, I think the marriage vows are specifically, I wonder if that's true. Wait a minute. You know, I wonder what it's like in the Philippines. I wonder what it's like. I mean, Nina, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Okay. Nina happens to be visiting us. Nina Irvin of the Booker Irvin clan. Nina, in the Philippines, when you get married, what's the rule of life? What are you supposed to do as a mate?
As a mate? I grew up with my parents, like my mom.
Go ahead.
My mom always like serve the family, especially the husband, the children. And we have a very close family ties. That's why.
So part of Philippine motherness.
Yes.
Is to make sure you're keeping everybody happy.
Yes. Take care of the family.
That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yes.
What? Who takes care of you?
The husband, of course.
So the husband is supposed to take care of you too?
Right.
So it is an equal exchange. It's not just like you're sacrificial.
No. It should be equal.
If the husband doesn't take care of you, what do you do?
We have a very like religious, we're a religious country, and we just don't get divorced or separated. It's just like maybe you'll wait until like he will make you happy.
You wait.
Yes.
You stay in there. You don't get divorced.
No.
You don't get separated. You work it out.
Yes.
Do most couples work it out?
Yes.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. You know, if you don't have divorce and you don't have separation, you don't have that, and you're going to be in there, I think you make a decision. You say, I better do something about this to make it work. Otherwise, she's going to keep batting me on the head, right? Not mm-hmm. making me happy, right? I know. I've heard from Booker what you do to him when he doesn't make you happy. I know, man. This is family, my friends. This is family. Linda.
Yes.
Linda. Yes. Hey, our telephone number is 212-957-2729. How would you like to say hello today? 212-957-2729. And where do you stand in the issue of making people happy? Are you somebody who is forced? Do you think your whole life you've been someone who is only there to please people? You see, there are people who are there to please people, supposedly like Mother Teresa, where, you know, the idea was you please because it's the act of pleasing that makes the difference. You serve people because you have to serve people, but not for what you get back. You don't serve for what you get back. And there are another group of people who only give to get. I give so that I could get something in return. And that's the idea. I give so I get something in return. So there are two kinds of giving. One kind of giving is I give because I like to give. Another kind of giving is I give to get something in return. When you have this accumulation of I want to give to get something in return, what eventually has to happen is you have to get angry. Because if you're not getting paid back and you're not Philippine, right? And you're not going to stick around forever, right? You're going to get angry. You're going to get upset. And when they do get upset, when a person who gives to get gets upset, they get really upset. Really, really, really upset. Let's talk to Maria. Hi, Maria. You're on the air. This is Armando. Oops. You've got to... Hi there, Maria.
Hello. Yes.
Hi there. You're on the air. Could you turn the radio down?
Oh, yes.
Turn the radio off.
I'm sorry. Oh, yes. 1 second.
Now, is that a bird or a child?
Yes.
Turn the radio off completely.
1 second. Hello? That's my bird in the background, but I'm going to another room. Anyway, Armand, I love you. I talked with you not long ago, but this is such an interesting subject that I decided to call you again.
Sure.
And, you know, let's look on that from punct of love. If you love, how can you be angry? If you love, how can you not help? Why you should expect anything from in return when you do for someone something that is so important to that person?
Sure, that's why you have a parrot.
I have a parrot because my son have a baby and he pushed the cage with the parrot to me.
He pushed the kid with the parrot to you, but you took it.
And for 3 years I have a parrot, But, you know, it's very difficult.
But the parrot doesn't give you anything in return,
and
right?
And the bird that you have to take care of, and you cannot travel too much.
Well, that's typical of your life.
But, you know, it's not easy.
But, Maria, that's exactly the way your life is. Your life is filled with birds who don't give you anything back, who make a lot of noise, who you take care of all the time.
Not only that, people are more important than even animals, you know. But animals are so important to us because they are very vulnerable, you know.
Sure.
And about people, you have to be for people. If we will be for each other, there will be no wars. There will be only love in the world.
So that's the way you feel. You don't ever want to get angry, right?
Never.
You hate getting angry.
No, I don't hate, but I don't have the reason to get angry, because if some problem appears, right, somebody is very angry and is abusive towards you, it's not your problem, it's their problem. So you can be only example.
So you, when somebody is abusive towards you, you step out of it and say, that's their problem, it's not mine.
I don't step out, I give example, and I am for them, I'm still for them.
You're still for them?
I don't run you out, no.
You sound like a Mother Teresa. You sound like...
I wish I would be.
You sound like you're doing it.
I want to help you if you need my help.
I hear you, Maria. Thank you so much for calling in.
I love you.
What's your bird's name?
My bird name is Marie Antoinette. Oh, wow. Chupac Kazan. Chupac and then Kazan.
Marie Antoinette Chupac Kazan?
Yes.
Good. Good name.
Yeah, I know. My husband was Michel Kazan.
At AOL.com. I could see it. Maria, thanks for calling in.
I love you.
Bye. Right, bye-bye. 212-957-2729 is our number. So there, Maria says, how could you get angry at somebody? Because they're just giving to you. Because when you're giving, you just give. And if they don't take it well, or if they're abusive, you handle it. We're going to find out about this. Hey, we have another call on the line. Let's take this. We like this because today is our day. Marguerite.
Hello, Dr. DeMille.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Here is my question.
Sure.
If you're brought up in a cult that requires a servile attitude without reward, this is your duty as a member of a God-fearing, law-abiding cult, and you have spent your entire life with that belief and exercising that kind of work. Would a modern person like yourself disdain that cult member or have some empathy or perhaps sympathy for the cult person who has never been able to escape because cultural education did not allow it?
Sure, Marguerite. You were trapped. You were trapped. You had nowhere to go.
My question is,
sure,
should a modern person disdain?
No, who would ever disdain?
Empathize or sympathize with a person raised in such a horrendous mentally
I know, Marguerite, I'm asking
situation.
I'm asking you a question since you know the answer to this as well.
I do not. I am asking you, Dr. DeMille.
I know. But you know
my answer, but I don't know
what
yours
have,
is, which is why I'm asking. You're a much more modern person than I.
I don't have any disdain for anybody. See, so that goes beyond me automatically.
What is the proper attitude toward a cult person who remains in the cult?
Sympathy. Empathy, sympathy, sadness.
Is there any way that a person in that cult situation could anticipate the situation in a world where the cult is no longer acceptable?
Sure. So that would be the hope that you would have, that one day you'll get beyond the cult. One day the cult will dissolve. One day
what then happens to the cult member left
with
that belief system?
Absolutely. It's like being abandoned. Yeah, it's a real loss. No, I think the cult person has to find their way out of the cult if they need to do that. because they can't wait for the cult to dissolve.
What if they are so brainwashed they cannot see?
Oh, you're not brainwashed.
What was in their brain at the age of 6 or 7?
But you're not so brainwashed because I hear you doubting it already.
I am not referring to my own situation.
Oh, you're referring to somebody else's situation?
Many, many family members with whom I have empathy and sympathy because
exactly.
I understand where they're coming from.
How did you get out?
How can I help them?
How did you get out? What did you do?
Education.
What did you do?
Education.
Education, okay. So I guess that's a good suggestion right there. Education, and it doesn't have to be just telling them.
I was not afraid of education, you see. Many cult members are terrified of education. It is considered godless.
Yeah. I hear you're in a lot of pain, Marguerite.
Only because I love them.
Yes, I understand. This is part of the pain of loving somebody who's in a trap. I understand. I thank you. Thank you for calling in, and I thank you for asking your questions. Wow. Sounds like there's a lot more to that than we would get at the moment. 212-957-2729. That's intense. That's intense. 212-957-2729. So there are things you could do to make people happy. One thing you have to keep in mind is that if you're going to be around other people, try to generate whatever positivity you could possibly generate. So if you're not feeling well, smile. Greet people. Look in their eyes. Touch people. Find a way not to be fetching, complaining, moaning, and groaning. You know, try to go beyond that. Someone else once came up with a suggestion. She said, pretend that people love you. Just pretend no matter where you go, when you walk into a room, everybody loves you. I just don't expect them to realize it yet. I'm by no means certain that everybody in the room loves me, but I've found that pretending that they do works nicely when I want to make someone's day. So I pretend that you like me. I pretend that you like me. Linda, you're like that, you know? I know that about you. You have a way of walking into a room where you assume people like you.
Yes, Armand, I do. I think it's something that was taught to me. Speak about education. It was taught to me as a young child. And I think it helped always for me to have a very good attitude because I was really very shy as a child. So there were things that I learned from others to help me overcome that. And I think if you project and you once you project that, yes, I'm okay, and others will see that I'm okay too, it assures that sense of confidence.
Hmm.
It works.
It works. So you were taught that way.
Mm-hmm.
By whom?
By my father.
And what did he teach you? What did he say to you?
He basically said how, you know, the way the message that you give to others will help you to feel better about yourself. So if the message is everyone is looking at me and I'm wrong, then that's a message that I will project and I will believe in. If, however, I believe that I'm okay, and once they get to know me, they'll see that I'm okay, I will then be able to integrate that feeling and be able to walk into a room and overcome that emotional shyness that, in fact, I may still feel, but I've put it aside for a bit.
Well, you know, this is a very good point because your father was a perfect example. What did he do for a living?
He was a funeral director.
He was a funeral director.
Yes.
Right. So as a funeral director, his job is not his job, but the only way he could be a successful funeral director is to be not fakely chipper, but to be chipper. And he was a chipper man. He was one of these people that everybody kind of liked, you know, and no matter what happened, you kind of got a sense that he's an okay guy.
Yes, Armand, and I think that you hit on something because he would say that he was with people who were mourning their dead and they come in with great grief. And that even though he too may feel grief for the family in an empathetic way, they needed someone who felt that they were safe with, that they could bond with, and they could mm-hmm. empathize and sympathize in a way that's going to give them strength, not downtrodden, but really an uplifting feeling. So, yes, I agree with you.
I wonder if that works with physicians. You know, if you think about yourself, you're in a hospital, and you're not feeling too well, and you're scared, you're going through surgery, the doctor comes in and he's chipper. I don't want my doctor to be chipper. I want him to be serious. I want him to be concerned. I don't want him coming in and saying, oh, it's a beautiful day outside today. Sorry you can't walk. You know, I don't want that. I don't want that. So I think there are certain places I'd like there to be a somberness, but other places where we could use some levity. 212-957-2729. Hey, Richard. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey. Yeah, I would just like to mention about the subject of happiness, how it is directly related with the subject of greed. Because I was once told, which made a lot of sense to me, that in the world today, there is enough water, food, and shelter to protect every human being on the earth, pretty much, and help us survive. But what there is not enough of is to supply for everybody's greed. So I think with a lot of prayer and faith, we can eliminate our greeds, and well, this will help create more happiness for everybody, which will directly cause more happiness for us.
Richard, thank you for the lesson, but where do you believe you have been greedy in your life?
Well, I believe we're all greedy from birth.
No, but where have you? Where have you felt this greediness?
Well, whenever we're placed in a situation where there is abundance of things, and
have you had the experience where there's been? You see, I keep saying you, and you keep saying we.
Yeah.
What about you, Richard? What about you? Have you found yourself challenged by your inability to deal with your greed from time to time?
Well, I feel I do a pretty good job of not being greedy.
Right, because some...
And that's what I focus my thoughts on.
And what does greedy
mean? I feel
mean?
That part of those thoughts have to do with making people happy.
Okay,
because that causes me happiness.
Oh, I see. So you would rather share everything to make people happy and not be trying to own it all yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible to be somebody who is motivated by greed and be happy. You can get a momentary happiness. You know, oh, look at how big my boat is. You know, look at how much money I have. Look at how much I can play. Look at all the things I have. You get that. But you don't get that core kind of happiness that you're talking about.
Of course not, and that's the whole point, is that our society, our culture is based on greed, you know, capitalism, consumerism, isms and schisms.
Thank you for calling in, Richard. Thank you so much.
All right, have a good one. God bless.
212-957-2729, 957-2729. It's an interesting thing. So as much as possible, what I try to do when somebody comes in and talks about the way the world should be, I try to direct it to themselves. And you'll see me doing that with you today. Here's another way to help somebody be happy. You ready for this? Help someone who you care about play hooky. Now, this is a really, really good thing. It's an ethical gray area. So I would never say you should do it. But floating the crazy idea that one day you might happen to call in sick for someone you love, or one day you could free somebody to have a free day with you, that's really an interesting thing to do. One way that you could join somebody in happiness is to play hooky, is to help somebody play hooky. An interesting thought. 212-957-2729. We have Joy on the phone. Hi there, Joy. It's Armand DeMille.
Yeah, hi.
Turn your radio down all the way, Joy.
Oh, okay.
And all people, when you call in, You must turn your radio down because you'll be able to hear us through the phone.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Joy.
Yeah, hi.
Hi there. So tell me about you.
Yeah, hi. It's about my husband, you know.
What about your husband?
Yeah, he thinks that Christmas is like, you know, he wanted it to be like before, that I used to buy presents and I used to please everybody, you know, like his friends, everyone. So, but it's been like more than three decades that we've been together.
Hey, Joy, you're on a speakerphone. Could you take it off?
Oh, okay. Hold on, please.
Sure. What language is that?
Hello?
Hi there.
Sorry. Is it better?
Yes, that's better.
Thank you.
Okay, so your husband wants things to be different than they are now, because he used to like it when you used to make everything special.
Yeah.
He liked it when you lived up to your name. Your name is Joy, right?
Yeah.
Right? He wanted you to be all Joy, but now you want to change your name.
No. I'm more joyful now because I'm now a born-again Christian.
Oh, so you're more joyful now.
Yeah, it's just very different.
It's very different, yes.
You know, I give love. I bless people. I help and this and that.
But you're no longer dedicated to your husband. You're dedicated to Christ.
Right.
And he must resent that.
I'm trying to make him understand that Christmas is love. Not about what you can buy for people, you know.
Yeah, I understand, but you know,
children understand.
I know your children understand, but you know, you have a husband who may need something different than what you're giving him.
Yeah, but he thinks he's so depressed because he could not buy me this, he could not buy me that.
I don't need love.
I told him I need love, peace, and respect.
Yeah, those are not things he could buy for you.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something, Joy, I only have 1 minute. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You may be a born-again Christian, and you may have rediscovered Christ, and you may have discovered all the beauty of the religion. However, very often, you leave behind the person who doesn't join you. Give him a little something his way.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a little something his way, so you could have both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Actually, I did. You know what I gave him?
What'd you give him?
I had forgiven him for whatever hurts and pain he gave me for more than 30 years.
That's gave him forgiveness.
We're so at peace now.
Good.
We're so in love. What else can we buy? We don't need anything.
You could buy him a tie.
Oh, I'll give him more than that. But, you know, I'm not telling. I'm just saying, you know, Christmas is coming. He has to wait. Maybe I got something to surprise him.
Maybe you got something to surprise him, Joy.
Exactly. Why moan and groan? You know, what a waste of the day.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Sure.
God bless and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Very often that happens, you know. It happens a lot in therapy when people find themselves dedicated to one form of therapy and then, you know, they change in therapy, but they forget that their mate's not moving at the same speed. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, some music for you, and we'll be right back.
For as little as $10 a month, you can be a WBAI buddy. Go to give2wbai.org and donate and become a member of WBAI and help the station stay afloat.
A WBAI buddy. Go to WBAI.org to help us out.
We're talking about amazing. That was Angelina, who is visiting with us as well from Hawaii. You know, we got the entire family in here. We got a lot of people in here today. So we've got my extended family indirectly, Booker, who I've lived with my whole life, and Booker's wife, Nana, and Angelina, their daughter, and Linda Vanella, and my cousin, Julian Joyello. It's a family affair. 212-957-2729 is our number here. We're taking your calls. We're talking about the need to give. Now, there are compulsive, it's not just the need to give. It's the need to make people happy. If you don't make them happy, you know, if they don't wind up happy, there is something wrong with you. And there is nothing more, I used to hear this from depressed people. They would say what a great weapon it was to be depressed. And to have somebody trying to cheer you up. And so it's people are trying to cheer you up, but you're under there and you know your way of saying to them, screw you. You can't make me happy. You can't get me out of this depression. That was their revenge. So sometimes when you see somebody so depressed and you keep trying to cheer them up, right? They just really what they're doing is just getting at you. And they tapping into that part of you that doesn't feel right, if everything's not right. 212-957-2729, Tarun. Tarun.
Yes.
Right there, could you lower your radio completely?
Okay.
Or shut it off, actually.
About five calls back, a lady was talking about a cult.
Yes.
Yeah, I you could say I belong to a cult. And of course, in the cult I belong to... You're taught to be a servant of God, or actually a servant of a servant of God, mm-hmm. because we cannot serve God directly. We become a servant of a guru, who's a servant of his guru, going back in what they call the cyclic succession.
And so you actually lived with that for a period of time. Are you still in that cult?
Yes, but you can practice at home. It's in the beginning, you should move into the ashram for the intensity, because you kind of have to block out the what we call Maya or Satan. The Christians would call Satan. You gotta get away from the mundane and stick with the spiritual. And then when you're a little bit stronger, you can actually go out and get your own apartment or house or whatever.
Tarun, you have to be really careful, right? So you've got a family of people who are all saying there's an evil out there, Satan is out there, and we have to be careful. And by us recognizing that Satan is out there, we can join together and we could be peaceful and beautiful. And then when you really get it, when you really feel strong, you can have your life independent of us, but you are still part of us, right?
Right, the monastery idea, yeah. In other words, the goal is to get out of the cycle of birth and death.
Well, let me ask you this, Tyrone. Yes. Let's talk about birth and death. How about sex?
Sex is there for procreation?
Only.
Well, yeah. That's the, in other words, the essence. Because as spiritual, there's a lot of energy in the and the fluids of the body, and if they're withheld, that raises to the brain and increases the memory and intensity of your spiritual life.
I can hear how that must frighten you somewhat. So, what do you do with romance? Do you have any romance in your life?
Yeah, I was married and five kids.
Five kids. So I guess you didn't hold back that fluid too much.
Well, I held the fluid for about 4 years.
Yeah.
And then I got married, and she was also a devotee, a devotee. And then we decided to have kids, and then we're still on a good relationship, you know, friendly relationship.
But friendly, but you're separated, right?
Separated, yeah, separated.
Yeah, what made you separate?
Actually, she was preaching at a Sunday feast. And then she got a little bit involved with somebody.
So she found somebody else
after
while she was
years,
preaching at a Sunday feast.
After 17 years, yeah.
After 17 years with you, she found somebody else. And she took up with somebody else and left you and your five kids.
She told me, no, she didn't leave. It was done somewhat smoothly.
Yeah, I know, but you know.
Yeah, it was not executed. It was not done the way the scriptures say it should be done, but. It's a mix. It's because we're brought up in a Western way.
Well, let me ask you something. Did you cry?
I did.
Yeah, good. So that makes...
In fact, when she called, I was in India, and I'm doing pilgrimage, and she called me to Bombay, Mumbai, and then that's when I first heard about it.
Oh my gosh!
And by the time I got back, I was too late by 2 or 3 days. They already got involved so physically.
I tell you, Tarun, it sounds like rough stuff. Sounds like really rough, painful stuff.
What you do is it's east meets west.
I understand.
Not just in a book, it's like in your life.
I understand. Well, keep your spirit going.
We're strict vegetarians. We don't take any drugs. And we don't gamble. And we don't, you know, like, we don't eat, you know, no meat, fish, or eggs.
I understand.
It
would sound like it would be a wonderful life, except for the fact that your wife goes and has sex with somebody else after 17 years.
Well,
you know, other than that, it was perfect. And she's a preacher.
It's similar to the outside, about half the people get divorced and half of them stay together.
I understand.
You know, similar statistics to the outside world.
Tarun, I wish you well.
Okay. You heard of Hare Krishna, I think, right? You heard of it?
Yes, I know Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I'm one of those.
You still are?
Yeah, I'm
also
involved. I used to go to BAI way back at the 62nd Street, the church.
I will sing it for me, would you?
See,
I haven't heard it in ages.
Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adoita Gadara Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It's nice to hear after all these years. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
All right. We are getting a sampling today of personalities, and one of the things that you'll notice here on WBAI is that we have a lot of different people listening. Different people with different ideas. Different people with different ideas. Are you working there, Julian? You have a dial tone? We try it again. Try it now. 212-957-2729. We are, maybe he didn't hang up. Maybe, there you go. Here you go now. That's right. All right. Anyway, here we are. So you find a big group of people. Linda, what do you think? In the people, now you worked in the hospital. In the hospital, when you were working with the veterans, what was this concept of trying to make people happy about for the vets?
Interestingly enough, oftentimes the soldiers are in a service where they're trying to find their role. And these kinds of things would come up in perhaps an interview or in discussion with them when they would say, I try to make my officer happy. I try to make my family happy. And oftentimes they come in with a feeling of despair. I tried so hard, but I failed at it. So in that sense, what I see in behavior health among the soldiers in the population was a lot of illness that came out of that drive to want to make others happy.
Or ashamed that they didn't.
Or ashamed, yes.
Because I believe in most soldiers you'll find that they had a parent, a father who they wanted to please. And you get into the Army and you try to please in the Army. And then by the time you get them, which is in a psychiatric hospital, post going overseas, going into war, right? That's when you get them.
Yes.
And now by then they feel like they've disappointed somebody because they've gone wacky. Right? They feel shame over that.
Yeah. They're suffering with a lot of guilt and shame for something that they thought initially would be something that would be favorable and honorable. Now they wonder if, in fact, it was. So there's a lot of despair that comes from that very desire initially.
What work that was that you were doing with people, I tell you, it's amazing. It's amazing to think of the fact that you worked with soldiers returning from Iraq and from other places.
Yeah, we had mostly PTSD, mostly soldiers who had either tried to take their life through suicide or tried to hurt someone else. So it was either homicide or suicide by the time they come into us. But thank goodness, I think there's a lot more awareness of that now, so that there's a lot of education. And these very things that we're discussing today is something that I think the service is really integrating human personality patterns, behaviors, desires, sexuality. I think all of these things that are very integral to human happiness is being addressed very appropriately in our service.
Let's take another call here from Seema. Hi, this is Armand DeMille.
Hi, how are you? This is my first time ever calling.
Hello, Seema.
And I'm so happy.
Could you turn down your radio? Turn it off.
Oh, okay. Let me turn everything off.
I have to tell them to turn it off.
Okay. Is this better?
Yes, much better.
Okay, great. I'm even going to pull over here. Yeah, this is my first time getting through. And I've listened occasionally. I don't listen advently because I really don't know what time you come on. So I hope you'll tell me that when I
come
finish.
On just about 1 minute after one.
1 minute after
no,
one.
No, I come on at 1 o'clock on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Okay. It's a lovely show. One thing I want to say is I find it a little irritating that people don't listen as well as they speak. You're giving great advice, and very often they just want to, there's, you know, and I understand because a lot of times people don't have people who listen to them. But it's a little disturbing to me. You're giving great information, great advice, and often people are talking.
You see, but the beauty of it is, Seema, the beauty of it is understanding that. Now, let me ask you, in your life, who have you spoken to that you've really been of benefit to? Who's frustrated you? Have you tried to help your mother?
Oh, please.
My mother is
not only not a listener. My mother is a person who is very superficial and, You know, and I know that someone did that to her because it's so deep.
Okay, but before you understand it, your mother is somebody who's very superficial. And no matter how you try to talk to her, you could never get down to the nitty-gritty. You couldn't get down to the real stuff, right?
Never.
Never. And she gives you the same kind of anger that you feel towards the people who call up this radio show. And they do the same kind of thing.
And may I say, I don't feel angry towards them. It's annoying. It's annoying. You know, because
well, do you feel angry towards your mother or are you annoyed?
I'm sorry?
Are you angry towards your mother or are you annoyed?
Now I'm annoyed.
Okay, so it's the same thing.
I was angry.
So annoying is your way of being nowadays.
Yeah.
But that must feel awfully lonely, Seema.
Oh, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Who listens to you?
I'm sorry?
Who listens to you?
My therapist.
Yeah, that's what we do nowadays. We hire somebody just for that reason, and it's a good reason. Hire somebody whose job it is to listen.
Yes, yes. Because, like, I find most people love to talk, and they don't like to listen as much as they like to talk.
Yeah.
And also, I find they often listen with judgment.
You think they listen with judgment? So you think people who are listening to you, sometimes they're listening and they're going to criticize you as well?
They're going to criticize and also they go into themselves. It becomes about them.
Yeah, and this is all about you today.
I love it. Thank you.
Today
come
you're
on,
talking
Brian,
about you, Seema.
Come on.
Yes. Yes, and you're calling in for
the
first
time.
What a
wonderful show.
Thank you so much for calling in, Seema.
Thank you for listening.
Right, bye-bye. 212-957-2729 is our number. 212-957-2729. They're such beautiful people, the people who call in. Now, tomorrow, I'm playing a pre-recorded program for you with Kent Robert Shaw and a couple of other guests. It should be really interesting. 212-957-2729. Hold on a second. Fast as he could write. Be sure to turn off your radio. Hi, Casey. You're on the air.
Hi, Dr. DeMille.
How are you?
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
You
got to turn off your radio, Casey.
Oh, hold on one minute. Just
you
got
to make a note to yourself. Say it again. Casey, are you still there?
I'm coming.
Oh, you had to go.
Sorry, I wasn't even in the right room.
Right, you might have been in the wrong block.
I think so.
She has to go next door to turn off the radio.
Listen.
Yes, I'll listen.
I'm sorry. This is, other than my mom
I'm still hearing the voice in the background. What's the noise in the background?
Now I think the television.
Oh, can we turn that off too?
Yeah, can you hold on for a minute?
Sure. We can sing. Give me a Christmas tune. Come on, Julian. I'm waiting for you. You're the singer of the room. We're waiting for her to turn down the TV. Are you ready?
What am I singing?
You're singing a Christmas tune. You only have a second. Here we go.
Hi, I'm sorry.
You're right.
Okay, everything's off now.
Great. Now, let's recommend that to all the people that call in, because we have this limited thing. There are three things that we ask you for. Number one, do not put us on speakerphone, because that gives us a feedback. Number one. Number two, don't have your radio on in the background, because that gives us a feedback that's impossible. And if possible, limit the noise in the background.
Yeah, I had the television and the...
And you never expected to get through, Casey.
I really didn't. As God is my witness, I was hoping, but
God is your witness, and we're going to ask him, and he's going to say she did not expect to get through.
No, not at all.
Santa's going to tell me.
What I was going to say is that I did something, and I was hoping I could ask you about it. I shot myself through the heart about a week ago last Monday. This little cat I was taking care of, who I adored, and I was in the process of adopting him, got sick. I took him to the vet hospital, and they immediately wanted to put him down. And I said, no. And they said he was an older cat than I thought, and that he had his own problems. And then when I went back 2 days later, I was just not, my mind had turned into sour cream. And I signed off eventually, and he was, you know, put down. And the look he gave me was, so this is it? And I swear I can't get rid of the look because he was such a smart little animal. And I think I should have brought him home and just went with the flow. And now I have guilt, unbelieving. I believe I betrayed God because I didn't believe in him. I betrayed the animal because I
wow, Casey,
he came
that's a lot.
To me for help, and I betrayed
that's
myself.
That's a lot. I understand. I understand. You know, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Other betrayals in your life, who else did you let down in your family?
Yeah,
I'm going to ask you about your father specifically.
I didn't really know my dad. I knew my granddad very well.
And did you let him down at all?
No, I was a kid and I loved the grandpa.
You love grandpa, right?
Yeah.
What happened to your father?
I don't. He and my mom, you know, they just didn't make it past my very early days. You know,
and so you never got to know your father?
No, I didn't really, you know him. I know he saw me, but I don't, you know, remember him.
And you have no interest in finding him?
Really, not much. Maybe 1% every now and then. That's just to see what he looked like, even though I've got pictures of him. He was a handsome dude. And they say I look like him. But I'm on the more pretty side, I think. But
well, you know why I'm saying this, Casey? Because I've seen enough people who have the kind of syndrome that you have, this kind of remorse over doing something that just seems like a logical thing to do. When I see this kind of remorse, I usually find something uncompleted in the family history. And I'm going to suggest to you that the basis of this feeling of shame and guilt that you have, believe it or not, is not knowing who your father is.
Mm.
Now, I know that's a big leap, but, you know, this is what I do for a living.
No, that's why I wanted to talk to you,
yeah,
you know. I'm
yeah.
curious, because, I mean,
I say
I'm
go find
myself.
Out who he is.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I say go find out who he is.
Oh, gosh. What a New Year present.
What a New Year present it will be, yeah.
I'm not thinking positively either.
Well, how bad could it be?
Yeah.
Just be truth. You know?
I'm supposed to find him because of the way I'm reacting here, because it feels like I shot myself in the heart.
That's right. That's right. Okay, well, listen, I want to thank you.
Well, I thank you for picking up the BAI money at your office.
Oh, sure, Casey. Thank you so much. Yeah, you're great.
Yeah, you're greater.
You're greater.
You're greater.
No, you're greater than I am. You know, whatever greatness I am, you double it. That's how great you are.
You're triply.
No, but you know, all the greatness in the universe, that's how great you are. Go out into the stars. Go into the moon. Go into heaven. That's how great you are.
When do you think I'll stop suffering from what I did?
When you find your father.
Oh, no.
See
you. All right, Doc.
All right, Merry Christmas, honey.
Thanks.
Okay, see
bye.
You. Bye-bye. Sorry, friends. This is Armando Mill with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to have to be going. We will be playing you a recording tomorrow of a different program. And then I will be back with you on Tuesday following that. If you want to get in touch with me, go to ArmandDeMille, thepositivemind.com. Thepositivemind.com will lead you to the website and you can listen to all the archives. Special thanks to Michael for engineering today. And sorry about that 1 minute comment. Okay, bye-bye for now, my friends. Merry Christmas.
One girl, you're everything. If you win it, comes and goes in a minute. Where's the real stuff in life to cling to? Love. is the answer. Someone to love is the answer. Once you've found her, build your world around her. Make someone happy. Make just one someone happy, and you will be happy too.